Be a sermon after whether you announce it as bad or not. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. I know some of you had quite a travel to get here, so glad you could join us. Well, here we are on the last day of unleavened bread. For the past week, we focused on leavening our lives. We've eaten unleavened bread as a reminder that we are to be focused on God's way of life, striving to live in a pure and sin-free way. However, at sunset this evening, this year's Days of Unleavened Bread will come to a close. Many of us will have bread back, which is certainly appropriate and allowable. But what about the sin? Will we be just as quick to go back to some of our old habits? Will we walk right back into the proverbial snare? In replacement loop theory, I had only touched on the idea, but I wanted to circle back to it today to focus on some of the finer points, because it fits so well with our understanding of growth in Christianity. In fact, as is the case with most theories and hypotheses, researchers are merely uncovered centuries ago. Turn with me to Matthew 12. We're going to read Matthew 12, 43 to 45. We see in verse 38 that this part of this is in response to the scribes and Pharisees asking Christ for a sign. So we see down in Matthew 12, 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it shall be with this wicked generation. So a person decides that he no longer wants to do things the way he always has. Perhaps it's a bad habit he's trying to break, or a certain part of his life that he wants to improve upon. Maybe he's preparing for Passover. He recognizes he should stop doing what he's always done. So he stops. Perhaps he even quits cold turkey. The unclean spirit has left the house, so to speak. I find this passage to be very similar to the Days of Unleavened Bread. At Passover, we memorialize the death of Christ and the price that he paid for our sins. That night and day leads directly to the Days of Unleavened Bread, in which we clean our physical and figurative houses and live leaven-free. For many of us, our houses will never be cleaner than they are when we leave for the night to be much observed dinner. But we see in verse 43 and 44 that the Spirit returns. Why does the unclean spirit return? It's been kicked out, but it cannot find rest. So it goes back to what is comfortable, the house it knows well. Satan does much the same with us. He likes to make us comfortable with our sin. For many people, the intimidation of change outweighs the upside of improvement. I'm going to repeat that. The intimidation of change outweighs the upside of improvement. From Psychology Today, old habits are hard to break, and new habits are hard to form. One reason is that habit patterns, which we repeat with regularity, are literally etched into our neural pathways. How many times do we revert back to what is comfortable, even if we know it is bad for us or inhibits our spiritual growth? There are times that God prefers for us to operate in discomfort for the sake of spiritual improvement. He refines with fire in the furnace, and he prunes to encourage growth. A plant that reattaches its dead limbs won't look very healthy, and neither do we when we reattach the dead weight back to our lives. So what does the Spirit do? Well, in verse 45, it says that it comes back even stronger than before. It brings seven other spirits, and each of them are stronger than the first. This is, in part, why our minds are so strongly pulled back into the ruts in our neural pathways that have been etched over time. So how do we combat this? Well, that's where the habit replacement loop theory comes into play. A general habit is typically broken down into three parts: a cue, a routine, and a reward. The cue is the trigger that leads to the habit or the routine. The reward is the benefit that you receive for carrying out the routine. In habit replacement loop, you intentionally do things to replace the habit. You can't just eliminate most habits. It is best to literally and psychologically replace it with a positive alternative. So let's take a negative habit as an example. You have a cue, you're stressed out. The routine, you go outside and you have a cigarette. The reward is that you're calm. In habit replacement, you replace the routine, the smoking, while keeping the cue and the reward the same. You can't stop that you're going to feel stressed. You shouldn't stop that you want to feel calm. What you're going to do is you're going to replace the habit that's in the middle. So you replace smoking with deep breaths, maybe a Diet Coke, maybe you take a walk around the building. You replace a bag of chips with a piece of fruit, dwelling on negative stories with meditating on God's blessings. You replace complaining about others by complimenting people. I've seen people who make it a goal to say one nice thing about a person if they're being talked about. It's an obvious decision to replace gossip with putting someone in a good light. Regardless of what you choose, the idea is that you are not simply removing the habit. You are replacing that negative habit with a positive one. You are etching new neural pathways in your brain. In essence, you are hanging a no vacancy sign on the door to your fresh, clean house. We must retrain our minds to etch new pathways. Think of a river diverting course. Water in a river won't leave its etched in course without a new path being developed. The same goes for our minds. If we merely remove the habit or kick the unclean spirit out of the house, we will return back to what is comfortable. And like the spirit returning with backup, we might find that the pull back to the rut is much stronger than the desire to change. The intimidation of change outweighs the upside of improvement. Paul said in Romans that what he wills to do, he does not practice. But what he hates, well, that's what he does. And he recognized that at that moment, it wasn't he that was doing it, but sin that dwelt in him, in his house. The unclean spirit returned with seven more spirits. These verses offer a strong spiritual parallel to us too. The Holy Spirit is invaluable in helping us to follow God. If we merely remove the spirits of the world, but we don't replace them with the Holy Spirit, they will return. It will only be a matter of time. This is why baptism is so important. Baptism is not about placing a capstone on perfection. It is the acknowledgement that we cannot keep our houses clean by ourselves. If you wait to be baptized until you are perfect, you'll never be baptized. Just like if a person waited to be perfect, to be ordained, there wouldn't be any elders. I guess I shouldn't speak for Mr. Kiesel. I'll speak for myself there, though. Jesus ends with a warning about the world in verse 45. So it shall be with this wicked generation. A warning that can still be said to us today. Keep in mind, two steps back, or maybe not even two steps, just a little bit more than one step back, barely perceptible. But when viewing in hindsight, we see a degradation of moral and godly living. And like the scribes and Pharisees, remember that the vast majority of people in this world have not been given. In a literal sense, when they remove a bad spirit, there is no positive spirit to take that place. Only good intentions. A house swept clean and tidy. So as a result, we see glimmers of hope and well-meaning choices that often lead to more of the same old issues. Because the spirits return strong. But it profits us little to merely focus on what society is doing wrong, which is why we should look inward when reading Christ's teachings. We must be sure that we have no planks in our eyes. So, as we end this year's Days of Unleavened Bread, let's take a moment to appreciate what resides within us, taking the space of those 8 unclean spirits. And physically and emotionally, let's be extra careful to replace negative habits and routines with positive options, building those positive neural pathways in our brains, so that when those unclean spirits return, they too find on the doors of our houses that are swept and put in order. Well, it is a holy day. We should turn to Deuteronomy 16:16, as is customary for us.